Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines, our home away from home. And I'm excited now to bring in my good friend. She writes for Outkick, but we have been good friends for a long time. An official friend of the show, Amber Harding, is on the line with us. Hi, Amber.
Hi, Chase. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I have Big Joe, who's dressed like what are you?
Mrs. Roper.
Mrs. Roper. He's cross-dressing today, so I don't know what's going on here, but we're excited.
Why aren't you wearing a Halloween costume?
Thank you.
Because it's tomorrow.
Does it matter?
That's why. I will tomorrow. I'll come up with something tomorrow, but not today. I missed the memo on today. But thanks for doing this. I know there's a lot of different topics we're gonna hit on with you, but. You know, one of the big things that has kind of been going on in the sports world is this FBI case with an NBA coach, a player, former players, and when it comes to gambling. And gambling's been around sports for a long time. It's obviously not as taboo as it used to be. But this is a bit of a concern now that, you know, where is the line between, you know, the sports and sports betting or gambling and how much in the mafia being involved? So what are kind of your thoughts on this and this big story that I have a feeling is going to continue to grow?
Yeah, it definitely is. And this definitely isn't the only case of this happening, right? This is just the one we're hearing about. And I think that even though sports gambling has been around for a long time, this idea of prop bets and the popularity of prop bets is really changing the game, no pun intended, on gambling. Because, you know, Chase, I know you and I are big proponents of the anytime touchdown. We love a good prop
yes.
bet. But when you have these tiny micro prop bets, like will the pitcher throw a ball or a strike next? Will the first play of the game be a run or a pass? I mean, these aren't earth-shattering, and they probably won't alter the course of the game, but they're so easy to manipulate for the players and the coaches involved. I mean, if I'm a basketball player and it's like, hey, I can just miss this one free throw and pocket 200 grand, that's pretty tempting.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, what's to stop, you know, a receiver, we won't give them a name, to say, go in the huddle and go, hey, can you throw this my way? My cousin's got, you know, 200 bucks on me. Like, I just need to make this catch. I got you.
Yeah, I mean, and nothing is to stop that. I mean, obviously, I would assume if you did it that, obviously, your teammates might start to ask some questions. But it's easy to argue that this accessibility of online gambling, the fact that everybody has a betting app partner, and we all carry around little casinos in our pockets, it's easy to say that that's what's creating these problems and leading to these rampant betting scandals. But I mean, you could also argue that regulated betting websites help to thwart them. Like these apps like DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM, they have a vested interest in making sure that people aren't cheating them out of money, right? So they have employees and computer programs to actively monitor and flag suspicious activity. That's what led to the investigation into Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups and the whole crew in the first place. So if athletes are betting on themselves or their own teams through some hidden black market bookies in the alley behind Home Depot, or whatever classy way that they used to do it. we may never find out about that. So in a way, you could argue that these betting apps are actually helping to protect the integrity of the game. But so, it's probably a little bit of both.
So, Amber, when Greg Sankey comes out and says, hey, we need to stop this and don't let college athletes bet on anything else besides football, don't embrace that. I mean, we've opened it up. It's not going back, is it? I mean, this is out in the open now. This is going to how – I think it's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Am I wrong on this?
No, not at all. I mean, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? So it's already legal across 30-some states and counting. And then you have places like you have the NCAA who's basically trying to like a bend not break strategy, right? Where they're like, okay, we're going to let our student athletes bet on pro sports, but not on collegiate sports. And that's supposed to be their way of kind of helping to like give them an inch and hope they don't take a mile, right? So there, maybe that's one way to handle it. Another way to handle it would be eliminating prop bets. in the pros, do you institute, you know, these zero tolerance policies? Like, if you get caught, you're banned forever, Pete Rose style, and your contract is null and void, all these things. I don't know what the answer is, but they're going to have to figure out something because, like you just said, it's only going to get worse.
You know, Amber, I'm so glad we got you on because Chase and I were talking before the show about this whole Lamar Jackson injury report, how he didn't appear and he did appear and all that. And I was reading an article, Amber, and it says the person that was maddest the most over all this, Vegas. And that spoke volumes to what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that they have protocols in place in pro sports where you have to be accurate in your injury report. You have to report when somebody misses practice, and you have to be honest, or you're supposed to be honest anyway, in their status for the game ahead of time. And that's one of the reasons it's in place, is because of the gambling market, right? Obviously, it has something to do with the other team's preparation as well. But the gambling market is a huge reason for that. So it's when all these people, and there's so many people in place, right? So, like, even if it's not the players and coaches, you have staff in the building who might know, like, hey, Lamar's actually not healthy at all. He's not playing. And it's going to stop some random janitor in the building from going and telling their friends, like, hey, Lamar is hurt. He's not playing.
Oh, that's good. I bet that janitor's name is Ricky.
Probably. Amber Harding is
exactly who I was talking about.
Exactly. Amber Harding is with us from OutKick. You can find her work there. So, Amber, a hypothetical for you. Let's say that your amazing dog, Rocky, wins like a big contest, and you win millions or billions of dollars and decide to buy a football team. Are you going to be like Carly Ursay Gordon and stand on the sideline with a headset and taking notes? Because I actually think this is a pretty cool story of her wanting to learn more about how football works so she can properly run a football team.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one way of doing it, right? The other way is to hide away in your mansion, only show up for puffy occasions, refuse to speak to the media, send your lawyers to defend your incompetence, and get mad at anybody who tries to talk to you.
Yes! Yes!
I'm here for this.
Not any owner in particular. I'm just riffing here. But, I think what Carly Ursay Gordon is doing is awesome. And I'm from Indianapolis originally. I'm not a Colts fan. I'm a Dolphins fan, unfortunately for me. But to see the way that she has inherited this team and embraced it and brought them to the best record in the NFL is really impressive. And I love the fact that she's talking to the media. I love what she said after Sunday's game, which happened to be against the Titans, where she said, like, this is really important that I know what's going on, that I can see what's really happening, things that I can't necessarily see by watching it on TV. And then at the end, which I love this because it felt like a thinly veiled jab, she said, I recommend anybody who's paying millions of dollars to coaches and GMs to do the same thing.
Well, off of that, and I told Chase, we talked about this the other day, Amber, the fact when people say, women don't know football, drives me insane because there are a lot of women that know football very well. Very well. And I love the story with Carly Ursay because it just spotlights, look, she's interested. She's taking notes. She knows what's going on. I love the story with Carly Ursay because it's got so many great tentacles with this that you could talk about. And the fact that she's doing this and it empowers women to like football. If I'm the NFL, Amber, I'm embracing this story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they gave Taylor Swift so much credit for bringing the NFL female fans. But, like, let's look at somebody like Carly Ursay Gordon or some of the other female employees at NFL teams, trainers and such, who are helping to kind of build that game for women as well. And I'm with you. I get equally frustrated when people act like because we are women, we aren't supposed to know anything about sports. And Carly probably knows the reality of being a woman in sports. It's that, you know, you inherit this team from your dad, and immediately there's going to be so much scrutiny on you because you are this female owner who got this job because it fell into your lap because you were born into it or whatever. And she is making sure that she's actively not playing into that. She is making sure she knows exactly what's going on, that she's entrenched in the game itself. And I just think that's awesome.
Hey, I know you know football because I've watched Vols games with you during the Butch Jones era, and you knew what you were doing more than he did.
Yeah, I mean, I would have played Alvin Kamara, but you've watched me scream at the TV during multiple Vols games, so you get it.
That is very true. You can go to outkick.com and find Amber's work. I love this story that you had about Holly Rowe dumping her boyfriend for disrespecting Pat Summitt. You, of course, were at Tennessee when Pat was still coaching. You have a pretty good Pat Summitt story if you want to tell it, but we don't disrespect Pat Summitt around here.
No, we certainly do not. I was very fortunate in that I got to cover Pat while I was a collegiate journalist and, still learning the ropes of everything. And one really cool thing about Pat, and I know I've told you this story, Chase, but the very first time I got to talk to her was I had to write a preview for the 2008 Lady Vols. And I showed up at the facility when I was supposed to, and she turns out she was busy. The SID told me, well, she couldn't make this interview, but I'll email you some quotes. So I was like, okay. And I was bummed because I really wanted to meet Pat Summitt. I really wanted a chance to interview her. And I was on my way to class a couple hours later. I was sitting in my car getting ready to go into class, and my phone rang, and I answered. And she said, hi, this is Pat Summitt. And I was like, what? So, I mean, here was Pat. Like, she could have easily just given the SID some quotes to send to me, but she took the time out of her day to call me on the phone, this sophomore writer for the student newspaper, and give me the same interview that she probably gave a million people for a preview for that season. So that was just the kind of person who Pat was. She was way more than just an incredible basketball coach and a highly decorated basketball coach. So when Holly Rowe dumped her boyfriend, who she described as a smoking hot bodybuilder, because he said Pat Summitt was just a coach, that resonated with me. I completely understood Holly in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, me too, for sure. Before we let you go, our question of the day is the best nickname in sports. It can be a player. It can be a team. Does one stand out to you?
Man, I feel like this is recency bias. Like, if I had more time to think about it, I might come up with that. But I feel like there's nothing better in sports right now than the Big Dumper.
Yeah, that is a good one. We had a few people say that. Cal Raleigh, a very good one. Amber, my friend, thank you for doing this. Follow her on Twitter at TheAmberHarding, and you can check out her work at OutKick. We will do this again soon because this was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jason Joe. I appreciate you.
Amber Harding, my good friend, joining us now on the program, and more nicknames have come in. Jimmy the Greek.
Amber might have earned herself a weekly.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Brought the
fire. Good.
About
that was good stuff.
Some certain owner of
she's just riffing. She wasn't talking about anybody in particular.
Yeah, right. Nobody knows. Who was the receiver you're talking about gambling in the NFL? I'm curious who that was.
Oh, there wasn't one.
Isn't there one that's playing? Yeah, that. He's been rehabilitated.
Yeah.
It's a whole – she's correct, though, man. It's a big deal.
I'm not Calvin anybody out. So,
Well, don't get Ridley at me.
We'll have more coming. Jason Pinchot, 102.5 The Game.